pray to the God who is worthy of our prayers. Oh, Father, we love you. We are so grateful for your Son. We're so grateful that the one who is worthy, the one who was able to conquer the grave, to redeem the saints, the one who was worthy to receive our praise, you sent to accomplish the work of the cross. Lord, open our eyes, awaken us this morning. May your Spirit move in power. Transform us, O God. May that be the great work that you do in us today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Allison and I got married. We were 20 years old. And we moved into a house. Our address was on Faircrest Street. And when we signed the papers to purchase the house, we paid $86,900 for our house. I wrote a check. I'm kidding. We lived in that house for 7 years. Our first child, Abby, was born, and that house just wasn't big enough for her. We sold our house and moved, and we sold our house for $120,000. In 7 years, our house, the same house that we lived in, the same house that we put dents in the wall and tore up the backyard with two dogs, gained $33,000 of value. This morning, I looked up our house on Faircrest. We sold it for how much? $120,000. I looked it up this morning. That was almost 20 years ago. Today, that house, that same house, is worth $220,000. And that's the median. Allison said, should have kept the house. Same house. What changed? Same house. That house, in fact, that house is 27 years older than when I paid $86,900 for that house. And yet it is worth over double, nearly triple what it was. What changed? Is the house worth more? Well, you betcha, it's worth a whole lot more. Why? Because the housing market changed. It's the same thing. It's the same house. I could walk in. I could tell you how to get from room to room. It's the same structure. And yet it is worth something much more. So what is worth then? What is worth? If a house can change and triple in its value while aging, why? Why? If I buy a car when I got married, it's in the junker pile now. It's not worth anything. Why? What is worth? Well, this morning, we're going to examine what is worth. And how do we, as Christians, live a life that is worth something to God? We've sang this morning that Jesus is worthy, and now we begin to look at ourselves. Are we living a life that is worthy of what Jesus has done for us? If you have your Bible, I'll invite you to open up to Philippians, the book of Philippians. We're in chapter 1. We'll begin in verse 27. But let me remind you, we are in our year of joy. I hope this week you have had joy in the Lord. The book of Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. We have joy in the Lord, and it strengthens us to do God's work. And I know that there oftentimes are crazy things going on around us, and life is problematic in our eyes. But Christian, I want to remind you, there is joy in the Lord that is bigger than whatever we're going through. And this morning, I hope that you dial in and you forget about yesterday and you forget about the day before and you dial in on the one who's worth our attention right at this moment. And he will give us joy as we focus upon him. The scripture says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. Let me read that first line again. Only let your manner of life be what, church? Worthy of what? The gospel of Christ. To begin this conversation, what we must say is this. Jesus is worthy of all of our glory and honor and praise. Can we agree on that, church? Jesus is worthy. He's worth your time getting up on a Sunday morning. He's worth whatever you give to him financially, whatever you give to him of your time and effort. Do we ever outgive the worth of Jesus? No, we don't. Because he's bigger and better than it all. And so we could never outgive Jesus. He's called us to generosity in the way we give to him. Holistically, give ourselves to him. With that stated, Christian, it's time to take a look at yourself. Are you living a life that is worthy? Do you have a manner of life that is worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ? And this is where I'd like for you to dial in this morning and introspectively take a look. Are you living a manner of life that is worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ? In other words, if someone were to say, you want to see what a Christian looks like? Look at Gracie. This is what a Christian life looks like. Are you worthy to be an example of Christian life? And I didn't say perfect. Please don't hear me say that. I know none of you are perfect. The only one perfect out there is my wife. Not perfection. Are you living a life that is worthy? If I were to say, you know what? If you want to see a model of the Christian life, here's who you can look at. They struggle with things, they battle, but they're always coming back and pursuing Jesus with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. They live a life that is worthy of the gospel. They fail and they get back up and they strive to Jesus Christ. Now, the word you see worthy up here, worthy. This is the Greek word axios. And you may have heard axios or axios is how you pronounce it in Greek. But axios. This is the word meaning carrying a value. To carry value, to hold value. You can look back at my house. It had a value. And if I were to say, I want to now buy a boat so I can go fishing, you can say, well, put your house up. It has value. If you don't pay us for the boat, we're going to take that value out of your house. Axios. It is about value. Let me give you an illustration. Allison and I, Friday night, we had a rare moment where all of the kids were gone and involved in something. And we sat down together and we said, all right, we need to plan and think through the next 6 months of what things are going to look like. So we walked around and we looked at things and we said, well, man, this is in disrepair. This needs to happen around here. Well, how can we fix this? What time can we make to fix this part of the house that needs addressing? And what are we going to do about this part of our schedule that we need to? And so we sat down and we put things in order. And we said, what are we giving our time to? Because the list of just house stuff that needs to be done was long. And so I told Allison, I said, I don't know how we get through all of this, but what I do know is whatever's important, that's what we're going to have to spend our time on the next 6 months, because we have graduation and we have a play and we have VBS and we have camp and we have all of these things and we have school that's got to finish and work projects and all of these things. What do we need to give our priority to? What's worth our time and effort in the next 6 months? And so we wrote down what was worth our time and effort over the next 6 months. What is worth? I say that now to transition to you. Have you taken that spiritual inventory and said, all right, I'm a Christian. I find my identity in Christ. I've been baptized in the waters. I am publicly proclaimed to my church family, to my family that I live with, and to the people I work with, that I am a Christian. What is my priority? What is worth doing in order to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and the life that He would expect me to live? And y'all, this looks different for a mom with young children than it does for a retired businessman or somebody who's worked in the plant. Might look different from a 10th grader. But we all have a calling in Christ to live a life worthy of what He has called us to do. So let's look specifically at a couple of things that, and I wrote down. Yesterday I did a search on the internet. What are some things that are not worth much? Just did a search. What are some things not worth much that people spend effort doing? And I'm going to give you three of the top five or six on the list, because some of them weren't applicable. What is worth, not worth our time, but we spend a lot of time doing? Scrolling social media was number one. Second, pointless online shopping, browsing. And third, toxic relationships. I don't know if any of that strikes a chord for any of y'all. Maybe all three of them. And maybe in that order. These are things that are taking our valuable time and consuming them. Let me ask you a question. If you're involved in any of these things regularly, is it interfering with living a life worthy of the gospel of Christ? Is it interfering? Christian, if it's interfering, I suggest you make some changes. And look, these three things weren't even from a Christian perspective, which is a higher calling that we'll talk about in a moment. I was talking with Pastor Stephen about some stuff that was going on, and we ended up getting into school standards. There are different standards that you have to be in public school or private school or homeschool, wherever you are. But you have a code of conduct that you have to uphold, that if you break that, then you will get suspended or you can get kicked out of school. We have some military folks in here. When you sign up for the military or signed up, you have a code of conduct that you have to abide by. When I became the pastor of this church, in our plans and policies, and more importantly, in the scriptures, there are certain things that I am expected to do. There is a standard by which I am held to, and it is a higher standard. as a church leader, it is a standard worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are y'all still with me out there? Let me give you a couple scripture verses that talk about this. All right. Philippians 3:14. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. There's an upward call of God that we're called to something that is leading upward. It is not wallowing in worldliness. Rather, it is an upward call of Christ Jesus. You have an upward call, Christian. Let me give you another one. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. There is not a conforming to what's going on around us, but it's a transformation into a Christ-like mindset that Christians are called. To be worthy of the gospel of Christ is not to be perfect, but it is to have an upward call and a transforming mind that brings us out of this world and into Christ. Let me give you some specific examples. Are y'all listening? Just in this verse, back to verse 27. If you can put that one up there, Miss Stacy. Back to verse 27. Let me give you some things just in this verse that say this is the upward call of a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus. Number one, standing firm. Notice about halfway down, I may hear that you are standing firm. A worthy life is one that stands on the truth of God and will not waver when the waves come crashing in toward us. The idea here is of a pillar that is driven down, a piling driven down into the water, and when the waves crash on it, that piling will hold firm so the bridge can stand on it. It is standing firm. It's not going to sway side by side when the waves come. Christian, a worthy life is one that stands firm. Just because everybody else is thinking it or doing it doesn't mean that we do. Secondly, you are standing firm in one spirit. A life worthy of Jesus is one that does it in one spirit together. A life worthy of Jesus Christ doesn't say, well, I can do it on my own. I can be a Christian on my own. Or no matter what the body believes, I'm going to do it this way. No, we are in one spirit together, striving together. We are partnering with each other. That is a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Notice he says here that with one mind, we're striving side by side. A life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ is a life that scratches and claws and strives. You can think about this. The Christian life is not one that sits around and watches other people do the work and says, hey, good job. All right. Yeah, that's good. That's good. The worthy calling, the worthy life is one that says, that's good. Can I be a part of that? Yeah. Y'all, this church needs you to be a part of the work. Striving together are the words here. Striving together for the faith. It's not that we're just doing stuff to do. It's that we're doing it for the faith. We teach classes here to equip you to do parenting and marriage together. To do instructional children's ministry together, youth ministry together, adult ministry together. We are working for the faith. He continues on in verse 28, I believe it is. But he says, there we go, thank you. And not frightened by anything of the opponents. A life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ is a life that doesn't step back in fear. It's a life that is bold and that believes what it believes and has convictions and says, Jesus, it may be a rough season for me, but I trust you and I'm going to walk in faith. I'm not going to compromise, even though things are not going my way by my opponents. I will stand firm, Jesus. And that needs to be some of your prayers on your knees. Lord, help me. You, Christian, hear me. You have a standard that God has called you to. And it is a standard to live worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. All right, here's what I did. To be a good student of God's word and to, I hope, give us, for those of you who are hungry and want to say, all right, well, what else does it mean? I went through the other instances of this worthy of the gospel idea throughout the New Testament, and I'm going to read through them with you. And we're going to look at other principles of what a worthy life looks like. So if you're a Christian and you're out there and you're thinking, all right, I want to live my life a worthy life in God's sight, we're going to walk through some of those. And you're going to see, all right, these are things that I need to work on. These are things, all right, I'm doing these okay, but I need to work on this one. Worthy things. I'll go ahead and give you the ones I've already given you. You stand firm. You have one spirit. You're united with the body, with the brothers and sisters. You're striving. You're striving for the faith. And you're not walking in fear of the opponents around you. Now, let's look at Romans chapter 16. Romans 16, verse 1. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Synchre, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way, what? Worthy of what? Of the saints. Welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and help her in whatever she may need from you. For she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. What does a life worthy of the saints look like? It looks like a people who welcome the brothers and sisters and who help brothers and sisters in need. Many of you have been at this church longer than I have. Many of you have not. I am grateful that we have people in this church who really think it's an important thing when people walk in that they feel welcome. They think it's important that you have a bulletin in your hand and a handshake to go with it. They think it's important that when you sit down, someone says a word to you. And you don't come in and no one speak to you. This is part of what is worthy to be a Christian, to welcome. Did you guys know that it is a requirement? It is an expectation. It is in the scripture that to be an elder in the church, you must be a hospitable man. You must know how to make people feel welcome. That is a biblical requirement to be an elder in the church. Caring for people, welcoming, helping people. But I think it goes even further than greeting someone in church. So what can we do as a body to do something better? I've got an idea. How many of you have invited a church member or a prospect or a guest over to your house for a meal to get to know them, to minister to them? How many believers have you said, this person is in need? We need to help them. And you have stepped around them and said, how can we help. I talked with one of our Sunday school class members this morning who said, look, let's reach out to this person and help them. Amen. What can we do? That is a life worthy of the saints, as the word says here. How can you help? Pastor Stephen mentioned to me, we have scholarships given for our youth to go to camp. How can you help? We have benevolence offering collected once a month. How can you help? We have Wednesday meals that every dollar you put in the offering plate goes to helping feed people who come to church Wednesday nights for respite. That is hospitable work. That is helping and welcoming. Praise the Lord. All right, let me give you another one. Y'all still with me? Y'all, anybody with me? Okay, there you are. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to, what? Walk in a manner, what? Worthy. Look, it's all over here. Guys, y'all are supposed to be worthy. And look, I know there's a sense in which we're never worthy of God's love. Amen. But there is a sense in which we need to walk in a manner that is worthy of the calling by which we're called. I hope that makes sense. That those are two different things. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Let me say this, and I say this in love to you, so everybody listen up, if you will. Christian, step it up. If you can step up your devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ, step it up. Walk in a way that is worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Now, examples of what that means, we keep reading. With all, what? Christian, a worthy life of the calling to which you are called is to be humble, to think of others, to help others. What did Jesus do? It's coming in Philippians chapter 2. Exactly. He humbled himself to death, death on a cross for our sake. Jesus loved us humbly. And what is love? Wanting the best for someone and doing something about it. Thinking of the other. Humility. With all humility, and what else? What's worthy of the calling? Being gentle. You know, this one's tough sometimes, isn't it? It's tough sometimes to be gentle when you've said something four times already. Right? But to walk in a way is worthy, he specifically says there's gentleness. And notice we're getting into fruit of the Spirit here. The next one is gentleness with patience. You know, a lot of people say, look, don't pray for patience. I rebuke you. Pray for patience. You need patience. Absolutely. You need patience because it is a mark of someone who walks worthy of the gospel of Christ. Some of us need help in this area desperately. We are not patient. When things don't go our way, we fret. We lose control. We go in a fit of rage or anger. Patience is a Christian virtue that comes from the Holy Spirit of God. Continuing on, bearing with one another. What's a life worthy of the calling? When you bear with others. That means that you don't put people off when they fail. You encourage them back to where they need to be. Parents, I talk specifically to you. Your children are going to fail over and over and over and over and over. And I can't say that word enough. Bear with them. Church member, your church brothers and sisters are going to fail over and over and over. Bear with each other. Ephesians 4 says it like this: be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Does Jesus forgive you once? Or does Jesus forgive every single sin that you commit, Christian? Bear with one another. In love, eager to maintain the unity of the spirit of the bond and peace, a life worthy of the calling to which you are called is to live in unity. Now, let me say this. Unity is not always agreeing. Unity is togetherness, not sameness. I can tell you, in meetings we have around the church, there are different opinions, and that's not bad. In fact, that's very good. But at the end of the day, we need to be together, even if we don't agree. Christian, be together. Husbands and wives, y'all can disagree. That's not wrong. But be together. And if you make a decision, act like it's yours, even if it's not, in front of the family. You're together. You're not the same, but you're together. Unity in the Spirit. Y'all still with me? You want to live a life that's worthy? You've got a long list, and it's about to get longer. Colossians 1, 9 to 12. You want to live a life that's worthy of the Christian faith? Here we go. This is the one that Jeff read. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Paul is praying that they know God and the understanding and wisdom that He has. Verse 10. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. You hear that? Be filled with the knowledge of God so that you can walk a worthy life. So what's the first thing then? What do you need to do to walk a worthy Christian life? Know the Word of God. Know who He is. Know what the Bible says. And then you can execute the walk of Christian faith. If you don't know it, how can you live it? And if you don't spend time and effort in it, how can you know it? So, you want to live a worthy life? Understand it. To walk a manner worthy of the Lord, watch this, fully pleasing to Him. Some of you say, why are you going through this list? Why does all this matter? Great question. It's a good question. Why should we live a life worthy of the gospel, worthy of the calling, or worthy of the Lord? It's said it three different ways. What's the motivation? Some of us say, look, I just want to go home and watch the baseball game. I think this verse gives us a massive key. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. What's that next phrase? Somebody read it to me. Fully what? Pleasing to Him. Let's say that one more time. This is really important. Fully pleasing to Him. A life that is worthy of the calling, a worthy of the Lord, is a life that is fully pleasing to Him. Hey, Christian, do things that please God. I can relate this in my life. All right, I live my life. I try to be a good husband. I do. And it's not terribly difficult to be a good husband. There's a lot going on. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm just saying it's not a difficult thing to do. I want to please God. Lead my family well. And I want to please my wife. And everything else flows from under those little principles. Please God, do what's pleasing in His sight. Make my wife happy. I hope I'm doing that. If your goal in life is to make someone happy, it kind of defines everything else. Because whatever they like, well, that's what I'll do. If my wife likes her car washed, then, you know, I'll wash her car. Some of you ladies are like, my husband loves this meal. I'll cook this meal. It just kind of flows. Ethan, I see it in you. Hey, Ethan, what do you want to do tonight? Well, I don't know. Let me ask you. If y'all know Ethan, you know. Hey, Christian, what do you need to be doing? I don't know. Let me ask God. What's going to make the Lord happy? What decision? Which college should I go to? Well, what would please God? Let me think about it here. Be pleasing to God. And all these things flow out. And then he gets into it. Fully pleasing to Him. Bearing fruit. Hey, Christian, are you bearing the spiritual fruit that we know from Galatians 5, 22 and 23? Are you bearing love? Do people know that you want the best for them and that you do something about it? Are you bearing joy? Turn that frown upside down, buckaroo. Christian joy is real. And it's not just being giddy. It's having joy. It's having delight in God. We've talked about that. A quality in us produced by the Holy Spirit that delights in God. What is joy? Christian joy? A quality in us produced by the Holy Spirit that delights in God. Christian, are you delighting in God? Are you bearing that fruit of delighting in God? When life is crummy, can you delight in God? Bearing fruit, love, joy, peace, patience. Y'all can go look on the list. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. There it is again. Y'all take these verses, study them as a family, study them yourselves. Figure out what is it that I need to do to be a live a life worthy of the following. The next verse says this. It says, having endurance, being strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. Hey, Christian, be strengthened as you walk through life. Some of us walk through life and we're like, I'm so weary of the hardships of life. It is just crashing down on me, crushing me with all of these things going on. And that happens. But this is where you've got to get on your knees, Christian. Cry out to God and say, Lord, strengthen me. I want to live a life that is worthy of the calling to which You called me. Strengthen me, God. Give me faith. Give me patience. Give me endurance. Help me to be strong. There are those around me that need me to be strong. Lord, help me. Being strengthened by God's power. Enduring things. Having patience with joy, a delighting God that motivates us to endure the difficulties in life. Look, if it's difficult, delight in God, and He will give you the joy to endure and overcome. Christian, this is a biblical truth for us. Believe it. And finally, verse 12, giving thanks to God the Father, who's qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. We'll close with this. What does it mean to live a life worthy? A life that has worth is a life that gives thanks to God. Let me give you a practical application here. Can I? Are y'all listening?
Yes.
We're going to end right here. Hear this. Begin every prayer that you have with five things to God that you are thankful for. Start your prayers. Oh, God in heaven, I thank you for my family. I thank you for my brothers in Christ. Oh, Father in heaven, I thank you for your provision today. Find five things every time you pray and thank God for them. That is a life worthy of the saints of God. Be thankful. And watch your joy begin to swell, because you'll see that it is Jesus who has richly blessed you in the spiritual blessings. Back to the initial illustration. My house went from 86.9 to 120 to 220. Christian, I believe it's our duty before God to raise the worth of the Christian life that we are living year by year, so that God is pleased with the maturity and the growth in your life. Don't give up. Let's pray together.